This week, we're going to talk about who is Ed Belfour banging. Oh, that would be good, right? You could go any number of directions.
I bet Ed would call in as well. He probably needs the money.
Maybe. I was looking for jerseys on eBay. Maybe you got some jerseys. I gave you that nice Hartford Whalers jersey.
I think that's the only one I didn't sell. I sold off. You know, I was a bit of a douche and I had a million hockey jerseys, but I did sell them all off.
You did?
Yeah, well, the first time I was unemployed, I'm like, why do I have...
The first time of many.
Yeah. Because I used to collect, like, Quebec Nordiques. And if it was, you know, defunct team, I would go after it, like, on eBay and stuff. But I just sold them all off.
Yeah, and that back then when we were collecting, that was before they started making all these reissues of every old jersey, right?
This is very legit,
Yeah.
I got good money for my Alexei Zhamnov, which was the first jersey I bought.
Really? What ones do you still have? Besides the Whalers.
I have the Whalers, and then I have like a black Blackhawks one.
Okay. I just picked up a Jeremy Roenick CCM. But the patching is right? And everything. But the name on the back is like, it looks shitty. It's like cheap. It's not the same as the same font.
See, I arrived in town when they traded Roenick, and all the, you know, all the diehard scumbags in the 300 level where I used to sit, like, hated on Zhamnov because he was European. And
there's only a handful of guys, right?
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot.
And like, so I would be like, fuck it, I'm getting a Zhamnov jersey. I'm just going to be like... He was good. Zhamnov was good. I mean, he was like, you know, your zippy Russian,
like
right?
Like a Sergei Samsonov type.
Well, because like at the time, Wirtz was like, we're going to play good old-fashioned beat-em-up hockey. And it's like, yeah. And then Sergei Fedorov is going to skate past your defenders like they're just rooted to the fucking spot. And Detroit are going to win 5-0 every game because you don't realize... You win games by having talented, fast, skilled players, not a bunch of Neanderthals. Anyway, this
it's
is
like
the hockey edition.
You remember, the hockey edition. You remember Nintendo hockey? Did you ever play Nintendo hockey? You would choose. You had five players, and you could choose whether it was a fat guy, a medium guy, or a fucking skinny, fast guy. And so sometimes you'd go with all skinny, fast guys, but the fat guys would just knock them out of the game. Their heads would bleed on the ice. It was a great game. You would love Nintendo hockey. Well, maybe, I was thinking maybe it's time.
And we got something to say about Tom Green.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's Canadian. So this is relevant. Although he doesn't talk about hockey. But before we get into that, I think maybe it's time, because we have so much to talk about that's not, about comedians. Yeah. It's time for a spinoff of this show, right? It's time for a spin-off podcast of this podcast, right? I don't know what we call it, but it's, after hours or something like that.
We just get like a whiteboard and go, you know what? Let's not talk about all this irrelevant bullshit.
I only want to talk about the irrelevant stuff.
I never talked about Limey as well.
Yeah, well, let's do it. Let's bring it out here. What you're going to teach everyone listening, your wife and my wife, the meaning of the word limey, because you started to tell me, and I had no idea what this meant.
So where it came from, and because we were talking about how both Christian and I would drink lime water, lime soda water, right? Here's the etymology of the slur, the racial slur, limey. So the Navy used to try and encourage the low light, what do you call a low down sailor, whatever?
Scallywag.
Yeah, the scallies of the Navy. Scallies. They would encourage them to suck on limes because scurvy was such an issue, right? And so, but being scallies, being contrarians, badly educated, they would be like, we're not having limes just because you tell us to, and then I'd rather die of scurvy.
I'd rather get scurvy than on those limes.
So what the Navy did is then they said, all right, okay, limes are only for the officers, and of course immediately the scallies were like, no, we gotta have limes as well. So you'd love that contrarian like attitude to it. So all British sailors used to just suck on limes all the time to not get scurvy. The Americans who were fighting them in the whatever war it was, noticed this. And
I believe it was the Revolutionary
whatever,
War.
Whatever. Yeah, and then we...
Yeah, you're not really... you're not big on that war for some reason.
Just some Boston bullshit, tax-dodging nonsense. Anyway, the American sailors would notice this, and so they started calling them limeys. Hey, it's the limeys. Look at them sucking on lime and not getting scurvy, the dipshits. And what? That's where it comes from.
Okay, well, did you know that, Christian?
Yeah, I knew a version of it.
Probably because I'd bored you with it before.
I think so.
Anyone that will listen to this story, anytime Mark sees a lime, they're going to...
It's how I win at dinner parties. That my limey story is great because it's sort of, you know...
Yes. There's always a lime somewhere at a dinner party that you can comment on. Hey,
interesting to both parties in a manner of speaking. So anyway...
Yeah, that was mildly interesting. Yeah. I keep thinking about when did the American soldiers see the British soldiers sucking on limes?
Probably through a telescope. They're looking at the ship going, what are they up to?
Those guys are sucking on limes? They don't seem ready to fight.
Are they readying the cannons? No, someone's handing limes out.
All day and night, they're sucking on limes. These guys, did it really prevent scurvy?
Yeah, it does.
Really?
If you don't have...
Is vitamin C?
Vitamin C, if you don't have it, yeah, and like lime is like the king.
And why were the British so susceptible to scurvy? Just being on the ship?
You see it on the ship all the waiting time.
Yeah, not getting enough vitamin C. No fresh fruit on the ship. I mean... The limes last the whole voyage.
What you forget is like most of the British Navy didn't even want to be on the ship. They'd like
they didn't want to come over and fight the ship.
No, they got press ganged at Bristol or whatever. Yeah, you know, the British Navy was like 27 people who wanted to be in it and 10,000 people. They would go down to the docks at Bristol, right, with a stack of cash and rum, get people drunk. Out of their goddamn minds, kosh them, right?
Throw them on the ship,
and they'd wake up in the middle of the Atlantic and be like, "You're in the Navy now, asshole." I mean, literally, press ganging. Look it up.
That's great. It's no wonder they lost the war over here.
I don't know how they kept order. You know, you got like the officers, and then a bunch of people with like lumps on their heads going, "What the fuck am I doing in the Atlantic?" I was just in a pub in Bristol.
Oh. I think we need to do a whole week of shows about the Revolutionary War.
Anyway.
So funny. Okay.
So, segueing neatly into Tom Green.
Yeah. Okay, so Tom Green has made a comeback. I don't know if this is becoming a thing, but... the comedian comeback, where this is kind of like it is for me, right? So I really related to this. Tom Green was recently thought out of ice and brought out to
You're
do his
Tom
acting.
Tom Greening, are you? It's a phenomenon. It's called Tom Greening.
Tom Greening, when you come back after 20 years. Well, how long has it been since he was culturally relevant?
You see, here's the thing. Everyone assumes... I would be on the Tom Green train, but at the time it was running, it was off in the distance. People would talk about him. Like everyone was like, oh, Jason Fever's just another Tom Green knockoff, and this guy's a Tom Green knockoff. But because I don't think I had cable or something, I never saw it.
You mean not Jason Fever? You're talking about Chet Loquacious.
Oh, we're not allowed to. Oh, we'll beep the name out.
No, I'm
then.
Kidding. Who gives a shit? Yeah, well, when I was doing my act, it was at the time, and people would say I was trying to do Tom Green
too. You clearly were.
He was not someone I was a fan of at the time, right? I was not really watching his. Maybe I was absorbing it, but I wasn't. I think it was just a time. It was. I don't want to say it was like the time of alternative comedy, but we weren't. If anything, we were channeling Andy Kaufman, right? Who was the original of all this shit, right?
I don't know about that.
I think he's on a whole nother plane than Tom Green, but I think the late 90s was the beginning of a lot of the alternative comedy. And you can read more about it in Mike Bridenstine's seminal text, The Perfect Amount of Wrong or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it was just a time a lot of that alternative shit was sprouting up, you know?
Yeah, I was safe. Somehow it passed me by. I used to hear people talk about it, never saw it.
Talk about what?
It's a Tom Green this, Tom yeah. Green's this, Tom Green's yeah, that, I mean, you know, yeah. divisive sort of thing.
I was not familiar with, you know, since having gone back and looked at some of the stuff or even hearing him in the special talk about it, like, I didn't know any of that. Humping a dead moose stuff.
Yeah, I didn't.
I wasn't aware of the cable access stuff. I didn't watch the MTV show. I think maybe I was too old for MTV at that point, in like my 20s, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't see any of that stuff either. So it was interesting to learn about what an influence he is or was on all the shit that we're seeing today, right? Mm. The DIY forms of comedy, right? That podcasting has become, reality TV is, right? He is in many ways the godfather of that, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan gives him a lot of credit for introducing him to the do-it-yourself podcasting stuff that, like, he talks about going over Green's place and seeing all the equipment, and Green had equipment that's way, you would love this because you were always into the equipment before you had mini discs, before anyone had mini discs, right? You were always one step ahead on the technology, and Green was always that too.
I love people who just say, this isn't just for you guys, I'm gonna get involved as well. So I probably would have really liked it, but it just passed me by for whatever reason.
Yeah, he was also just so over the top and just so you know, it was too in your face, like screaming and I mean, it's what's become with Jackass and Punk'd and all those shows, right? Like that, I just didn't really like that kind of comedy, but looking back, I can appreciate it differently, right? Mm. And again, I don't remember him doing stand up.
Right. I thought he was just a performance artist.
So I don't know if this was his first foray into stand-up comedy, and the special we're talking about is I've Got a Mule.
Yeah.
Exclamation point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you think of his chops stand-up wise?
All right. So here, I had a very, this is the weirdest experience I've had watching this, right? Because you kept bullshitting around with texts, random texts, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm meant to be doing here. And then all of a sudden you send a, watch the Tom Green thing. So I'm like, okay, I'll do it. So the missus goes out. I started watching it, hated it. And within about 15, 20 minutes, my missus came back. So I'm like, I'm stopping this. I don't need to carry on with this, right?
Yeah.
The first 15 minutes and the rest of it, had like almost two different reviews for me. When I first started watching it, I was like, this is a guy that seems to not even want to be on stage. Like, just phoning it in. And I was like, this guy does not want to be on stage, but he has to be for financial reasons or some bullshit.
Why do you say that? Because of his affect or the his lack of energy
and what was going on? Just seemed to be, and after about 15 minutes, I was like, I'm gonna give up on this. Like, this guy, if he doesn't even want to be there, why should I be, right? Then this morning, I was like, oh shit, I gotta finish it off for the podcast. And the rest, and I started watching it again, and it was like gold. It was like the first 15 minutes.
So you started it over, or you just picked up where you left off?
I just picked it up, you know, resume. And so I'm like, let's just get through this. I've seen the first 15 minutes. It's probably not going to get better. And I absolutely loved the tail end bit of it, apart from when he...
The music.
Music. I was like, I thought it was going to be funny. You could see, they kept showing the crowd. And I think the crowd's like, where's the sting here? Like, he's not just going to end by singing a morbid country.
You're like, where's the jokes in here? And there were none.
No, he's just like, okay, that's the comedy bit.
I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about how it seems like more comedians, and maybe this is the Sandler effect, but it's not really, because Sandler does funny songs, but more comedians are doing music, right? We went and saw Heidecker a couple weeks ago here, and we thought we were going to see comedy. He just played kind of corny, not even funny, just earnest, like Jimmy Buffett type music.
Really?
And it was, McGann and I are looking at each other like, Where's the joke?
But was Neil Hamburger?
He did. He came out and did like an intermission, and he was great. Hamburger was great. But Heidegger did almost no comedy. He just played music, and they're not funny songs. They're
weird.
You know. So same with this. He ends the show with earnest songs about his life, right? They're not comedy songs.
Well, the Top Hat one seemed to be going funny, but then it didn't. And then, the final song is just a kind of heartfelt thing. But it was kind of bizarre. That first 15 minutes that I detested, and then as soon as I started it, he started talking about the early days of fame and having testicular cancer and blah, blah, blah.
He's doing like a life review. He starts to do like a life review.
He left out Drew Barrymore, which
I know.
Weird.
I had that down too. No mention of that.
You get sued or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, because I guess she gave him a relevance with a whole mainstream that he might not have had, right? Just by being married to her.
All right, so let's get to you, because I've been doing talks.
Okay, I think what you're saying is interesting. Like, you can watch something at one point, right? I remember going to being in LA and going to see the movie The Tenant, Roman Polanski movie, in the middle of the day, and coming out and being completely like disoriented and like totally affected by that movie, right? If you see something at a certain time of day, or you watch something at a certain time of night, or you're in a certain mood, it has a totally different effect on you. And that sounds like what you're saying, like you went away and you came back and you enjoyed it. But whenever you started it, you weren't in the right frame of mind.
That's
right?
What so, I said to the missus. I might have been in a really foul mood at that point. And then Sunday I was like, why am I watching a comedy special on Sunday morning, for Christ's sake? But I loved it.
And I used to always say, I think it would be great if like you went to a coffee shop. Maybe this is our next great idea. You go to a coffee shop and you go in to get the coffee, you in and out like the Starbucks, and there's a stage there, and comedians are doing there's a comedian on stage in the morning as you're going to work, like doing their act, right? Like, wouldn't you like to start your morning with a comedian, right? I mean, that'd be the first thing you talk about when you got to wherever you're going, right? But at the place, this guy's doing the sack. Anyway.
I think like one of your ideas from back in the day.
Yeah, I would love to have a morning comedy show, like where you get your coffee.
But how are you going to, so one of my observations.
Somebody's going to steal that idea and reap millions.
No, they're not. No. Someone's going to steal it and do it and go, that didn't work. Here's the thing. And why this is relevant to it. So one of the notes I had on Tom Green is he had these really well-formed long bits, and every now and again he'd throw in a blah, blah, blah. Like he did a Canada's always been woke. We had the first trans highway. And that's like a one-liner throwaway joke. Mm-hmm. And then he just goes straight into this hilarious, like, famous last words bit that is, like, sort of well-formed and more...
So I watched it twice, and I think it's good to watch these things a couple of times, because you pick up more, but also you get two different moods when you watch them, like you did, right? And at first I thought, geez, this guy, he's struggling, right? Maybe like you saw when he came out, like he's searching for the lines, he's searching for his bits, he's not polished, he doesn't have anything. And then this time I watched it, I thought, no, he's built a good act here. He's got long bits that all are kind of tied together and, kind of sum up his life, really, and, and are relevant. So I thought the second viewing, I had an even better appreciation for what he did. And I, unlike you, I thought the first 15 minutes or the first couple bits, that bit about the Airbnb, like, I like to stay in an Airbnb, right? I'm actually wearing this guy's clothes right now, or I'm on this guy's medication. I thought that was great. And then he talked about like being in the last chapter of his life and swimming like a salmon swimming upstream to die in a pool of his own jizz. Like, I thought some of those were great jokes, hilarious jokes.
Maybe it was just my bad mood at the time then, because they, now you're telling them back to me. I'm like, oh, that sounds reasonable. But at the time, it was not.
So what were the bits that you liked that he did?
There was a bit in the middle. I'm like, holy shit, this guy's. I love the bit about this looking at stones. We used to look, and he's like berating the young people. That's just amazing. That's like an amazing comedy bit. And he doubles down on it. Like, we just used to look at stones.
Yeah.
And then it rained and they were wet and all this. Amazing. That's an awesome bit.
You ever look at stuff? You ever look at stuff? Yeah. That's kind of Crocious-y too, right? How he's like, you ever look at anything? You like stuff? You look at stuff?
Well, I felt like that was kind of like you when the last CJ Sullivan debacle that we hosted here that you didn't do well at. Let's give it a. But do you want to go into that?
Why don't you continue to do the review of me not doing well? I want to hear more about that.
That felt like very you, where he was just staring at the guy and repeating something over.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Like when you're struggling as a comedian, that's what you do, or that's what I would do, or that's what I've done. Right? Yeah. It's like you just keep repeating until you can find your footing again. Yeah. And he seemed to have some of that in here too. Yeah,
but that was deliberate on his part. I feel like his best bit of the whole lot was that me and my friend are on different algorithms.
Yeah, I
which
like
is like mind-blowingly like perceptive, and he ends it with this amazing joke about he doesn't even know the melting point of steel and building 11. This guy knows nothing, which is like a amazing takedown of like conspiracy theory idiots and everything, right?
Yeah, and how we develop our opinions and how we think we're smart because the algorithm keeps feeding us stuff that we like and we agree with.
That blew my mind, that bit. I was like, holy shit. And then what was funny is I noted this down. So what I was watching went to an ad break, right? Just as that peaked.
Because it's Amazon, right?
Yeah, or whatever it was. And it was an advert for Google AI. So here's this comedian going off of algorithms and shit. It's like Google, like, that's where we'll put the ad. Right fucking there.
AI picked up that and put the ad there, like placed it in something that it's talking about. Wow.
Yeah.
I liked when, his observations of, like, social media and TikTok. And he says before he gets out of bed, he's already watching TikToks of Karens being arrested and tased.
But I'm sure the bit that we both loved the most was the old playground bullshit about Rod Stewart.
Yeah, this was
you have to be our age to go, he's just totally goddamn nailed that.
And he segued into it nicely from the technology stuff and the algorithms.
It had a point
to it. Social media, like, nowadays, bad news spreads so fast. But when we were younger, it was all rumors. Like, rumors would spread. Oh, my God.
The jizz rumor mutates, though, through the years. It was Rod Stewart, but when I was a kid, it was Mark Allman, the lead singer of Soft Cell, probably because he's gay. But that's who that ridiculous rumor had mutated to.
When I was a kid, it was Billy Idol. The same story. It was Billy Idol had his stomach pumped of cum. Yeah. It was Billy Idol. That's why when he said Rod Stewart, I was like,
Christian,
that's so
who
funny.
Is it for you?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember because I wasn't sure what you guys were talking about until you just said stomach pumped, and there was somebody different when I was growing up. It was somebody else got their stomach pumped.
Everybody has a different version of this rumor. That's
because you're younger than us, so it was probably someone like Billy Corgan or something.
Yeah, yeah, right. Whoever was like 5 to 10 years later was also getting their stomach
pumped.
That's
hilarious. But like, I always felt like, so Mark Allman for me, but he was, lead singer of Soft Cell, clearly gay, so it was, like a homophobe.
Yeah,
but Rod Stewart's like banging every hot woman on the planet simultaneously.
Right. And it doesn't make any sense.
And now he's like blowing dudes. Like, wasn't he married to Britt Eklund at this point?
Yeah. And as a kid, I was so confused. I was like, I don't understand why Billy Idol be sucking these guys off. It doesn't make sense. Right? But I guess it's amazing how that rumor has morphed in so many different ways.
Yeah.
Right? But the crowd seemed to all have, maybe that's Canada. Canada, it was Rod Stewart. Where I grew up in Boston, it's Billy Idol. Where Christian grew up, it's whoever. And you, it's the guy from Soft Cell. Every region has their own version of this rumor that is completely not true, right?
Oh, my God. I wonder if it's died now, though.
There should be a documentary about this rumor and how it's...
Yeah, that crap documentary a few years ago? The Comedians. The aristocrats.
The aristocrats.
Yeah, that was pile of shit. But one about this would be, I don't know, I wonder if that rumor is dead. Let's go out into the street and like grab a random 23-year-old and go,
hey, did you hear the rumor?
Who had jizz pumped out this
time? Yeah, and he doesn't really talk about this, but he does talk about it a little bit, but it was an insane amount, too.
It was
6 gallons. Right? How could anyone produce 6 gallons of jizz? It's like a teaspoon each time, right?
Well, I think the implication is it's an entire room of dudes.
Yeah, and he drank it all. It's the most absurd rumor of all time.
Yeah, and it's like, I wonder if it's still alive in playgrounds like today.
We should do
a program where you go up to people with it and go, yeah, can you tell me who drank 6 gallons of jizz? And you just...
All right, there's a famous rock star that has drank 6 gallons of jizz. Who is it? Oh, yeah, it's Billy Idol. It's Rod Stewart.
Just stand on Michigan Avenue all day.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great.
I wonder if there's a rap version. Because we're all like classic
probably.
Rock and stuff.
There was some rumor. No, I don't think it's the same one, but there were rumors about the Two Live Crew. Remember that band, Two Live Crew? Luther Campbell.
I remember some dirty
sex rumors. I don't know if it was the same thing, but yeah, probably a variation on that.
Wasn't there a rumor about one of the young rappers being sexually assaulted by his minder or something? I remember. 90s thing.
His minder,
not Chris his babysitter? Cross, but like a bodyguard.
Yeah, yeah, or maybe
do you remember
that's
that? Maybe that's like the 2000 mutation of
I don't know. But what is not there is only one version of the other one, which is the gerbil up the ass Richard Gere rumor, which we all know from the kids.
That never mutated for some weird reason.
It didn't
go to Tom Cruise.
No.
Or...
Well, maybe it did, but we just all have the same Richard Gere version.
I wonder why that one's stuck in time. Kids in the playground were like, nah, we're not carrying this one forward.
I don't know. But that was another one, right? Does he talk about it in his act about how he had to go on the Today Show? Or I was talking about it with somebody watching.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
He had to debunk it on the Today Show and say, I didn't do this. This is a rumor.
Did he actually do it? I thought Tom Green was making that up. So Richard Gere went on a chat show and said, listen, America, I never shoved a gerbil in my ass.
I don't think he got specific about the rumor. He was vague about what the rumor was. But he said, there's some things going around. I just got to say, all that stuff's not true. About the gerbil.
That's making it worse, though, because now now you're going to get people making it up in their mind.
Yeah.
You got to go on and say, this rumor specifically didn't happen. Because if you say, there's a rumor about me, it didn't happen, then I'm going to make up a rumor that's probably way worse.
Can you imagine if you could figure out where these rumors started? Like, who started this rumor? Like, if you could somehow trace it back to the guy that started this rumor, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how does a rumor like this start, right? And become, like he's saying, it's worldwide rumor.
I think, there might be some basis. It all starts with a nugget of truth and then mutate. Because, there's the famous one about Led Zeppelin feeding a fan to a shark, right?
What? No, I didn't know that one.
It's in, Hammer of the Gods. Okay. So, anyway, the rumor is that... Led Zeppelin once tried to... I'm right, right? That's the rumor, Christian.
I've never heard this one.
Okay. So one of the rumors is Led Zeppelin once attempted to feed a fan to a shark, right? So that's the rumor. The basis of it, I think Jimmy Page said somewhere, is we were staying in this hotel one time, and literally the hotel banked onto a river, and people used to fish out of their hotel rooms. So we pull in one day a mud shark, and there's a groupie in the room, and someone did something kind of lewd with this mud shark, which that's a story in of itself.
Right.
But then it turns into, you know, we're feeding fans to shit. So I think that's how this goes.
Yeah. And it also reminds me at the same time of the Ozzy Osbourne rumors. But they're not rumored. He really did do that, right? Bite the head off of that.
He said it wasn't a bat and it wasn't like a rabbit. He just said, yeah, they were faking it. And then fans started throwing things up on stage and he would just play into it because he's out of his mind. And I think he said one day someone threw a pigeon up. He didn't realize it was stunned and he actually bit its head off. And this thing, poor thing, was live.
So it really did happen.
It really did happen. He just said not the story that you hear about it's a bat and blah, 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 but it was some insanity that was happening at the time. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, that was, I was, you know, I watched it again and I was belly laughing again just listening to him to talk about these rumors. So funny.
Yeah, the rumors thing, the algorithm, what, there was another couple of just diamond bits.
How about when he talks about... you know, not wanting to die alone and wanting to die after his parents so that his parents can't get his money, right? Like, they say that there's nothing worse than losing a child unless that child is rich. He talks about his parents, like, spending his Freddy Got Fingered money.
Yeah, then he puts a spotlight on him in the audience.
Which he always did when he had the show, right?
Did he? Oh, I didn't know that, yeah. The line that I liked about was like, oh, I want to have kids at 60 because then just when they come to me for money for college is right when I'll die.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm assuming having kids, you're just like creasing at all this stuff.
Yeah, no, I thought that was great.
Yeah, I mean, that patch in the middle of the show is just a train.
Yeah, yeah. And when I... was looking at it, I thought when he got about 20 minutes in after that, he started to slow down. But then there are some lags, but I think, like, you've talked about that before. Like, there needs to be time, right? Like, in between. And he did, you know, like on Instagram, if you do a reel, right? Because I've recently joined Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah. you can.
Just in time for it to die.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I'm a little late to the party. But you can. You can have whatever you film consolidator, they take out the, it says like remove the silences, right? If you remove the silences or took out the, you know, the nothingness of some of this act, it would be like 30 minutes long. It wouldn't be an hour, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he doesn't come at you fast, right? Yeah. He's slow, and maybe that's the Canadian kind of thing. But it felt like he didn't have enough material, but then he picks it up again and like kills you with some great stuff at the end. So I like the slower pacing. Maybe it's because we're old, but I like the slower pacing of this.
Yeah.
You know, and there are lags, but I think the lags, as you've said, give you that opportunity to kind of reset and then it brings you back in.
Yeah, you don't want too much machine gun. You just get to
That's why, like, someone like we've talked about, like Pepitone or somebody that's like, gah, 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 all the time. It's like, I can't do it. It's too hard. What did you think? We always talk about like how they look, right?
Like, he looks like hell. Oh my god, did he?
Because he's gray. I didn't think he looked physically.
He just looked haggard and.
Well, this is someone who you really haven't seen in the public eye for 20 years, right?
But he said he's only a year, maybe 2 years younger than me, and I looked at him. I'm like, God, he looks like 10 years older than me.
Yeah.
Did I know he said he had testicular cancer, which would take it out of you, but he wasn't like a substance abuse guy or anything.
I don't think so, no.
Maybe it's just the mentally.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not Botoxed like most of the guys you see.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought, wow, 53, you look like you've lived it, mate.
Yeah, yeah. But I appreciate that, and I appreciate the way he's just in jeans and a button down, right?
Yeah. Oh, he's in Canada, isn't he? I mean, that's what is it, Canadian tuxedo?
I thought that was funny. Yeah, wearing jeans to a wedding, Canadian tuxedo. How he said, when I was hosting SNL, I never thought I'd be working a room in Hobart, Indiana, right? 20 years later. So we've talked about this too. Do you think a comedian like any comedian can get funnier as they get older? We talked about musicians like the Rolling Stones. They put out a new album and it's awful. Every next album is worse than the one before. Can comedians age well? Could someone like Tom Green be better at 52 than he was at 23, or any comedian for that matter?
Maybe that's a hard one because he's talking to me and you because we're the same age and we're moving with him. My uncle had this great thing where he's like, you know, every band should end after three or four albums because they just like you're rock and roll. You're most rock and roll when you're young, hungry, desperate, just trying to. And then when you're not that, what's the point? Yeah. We don't need to hear. And it might be the same with comedians. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's different. I think, I don't know. Maybe I just want it to be different. You know.
Yeah,
I want to think that there's still a chance for me to come back and do it. You know.
I think it's doable, absolutely, because basically comedians are talking about things. It's not rock and roll, so it's like,
yeah.
And you should be mentally evolving, but I don't know. I mean, when you're younger, aren't you consuming more of the world? And when you're older, you're pushing it back.
Yeah.
I think a comedian could be better if they still have that lust for life, where they're like, I want to take things in, I want to consume. But like me, I want to sit at home with the cats. That is not a recipe for
funny.
Yeah, it's not. I think, enough.
But I think in comedy, there's comedy in everything. There's comedy in an old person's life, a young person's life. Music, comedy is a reflection of the life you're living now, or should be. Music, I don't know, and Christian knows a lot about music. I don't know if that is the same. Can your music can get better, I would think, right? But maybe people don't enjoy it as much. Maybe the same is true for comedy. They want to remember you when you're young. They want to remember you when you were putting out that first album.
I think the key for a comedian is you need to be consuming life in some way, right? You need to be taking in a lot of input. And so technically speaking, if that's the recipe, you could be just as good a comedian at 80 as you would be at 20.
Yeah.
As long as you can keep that.
Yep. That's the secret of life right there. And maybe it's certain, when we talk about music, it's, no, you can't, you know, David Lee Roth trying to do the splits on stage. It's not going to happen in his 60s or 70s, right? But maybe other forms of music, right? You do get better. Musicians do get better. Jazz, you know, classical, I don't know.
Yeah, I think Van Morrison just put out an album and it's incredible. But he's able to like grow, age with his music. Like, you know, he gets like, he did what he did before, and then now he's later on in his career and in his life, and so he has it's still very much a Van Morrison sound, but he has evolved it, you know, with his age.
And I think I was just listening to the CD Astral Weeks on the way over here.
Wow, it's
Van Morrison.
Coincidence week here at the Lincoln Lodge.
It is. Well, I think the same is true for comedy. I think as long as you're true to who you are now, right, and you're evolving with yourself and still have a vitality for it, I think you can be just as good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but I think Green did that here, right? Like he wasn't trying to, you know, hump a moose or whatever, do the crazy stuff he did before. It's just him now.
Yeah.
And I think it really worked.
Yeah, it did. It did work really well.
Well, Mark, I'd like to invite you on March 22nd, Christian, you as well, to go down to the Park West and see Tom Green on tour. His
tickets still available?
Tickets still. That was a great joke, right? Where he goes, I should call this tour, tickets still available, right? We talked about that when we said like the not so special. He's coming through in a couple weeks.
All right, we'll go.
I'm sure we would see the exact same act, right?
That was 2 years old, wasn't it?
This one we just watched, I think it's pretty new. It just came out. I don't know when he filmed it, but
let's go. Let's live life.
Yeah, we got to get out of the studio. You know, we got to get out of the house. We're in here all day just filming or recording
day
podcasts.
After day.
Day after just grinding away on specials. Let's get out of here, you know?
All right.
Let's get out and see it.
All right, but we finished, though, with the...
You got anything else you want to talk about with this?
No.
This man?
That's my notes exhausted.
How about the dog? One last thing. The
gratuitous.
Dog.
Gratuitous.
What is with the dog? The dog, Sandler had the dog. He's got the dog. That night I was in the hospital emergency room. Drew Barrymore show I watched overnight. She has a dog on stage in her show. Like her dog is part of the show on the stage. What is
Drew Barrymore?
Yeah, in the Drew Barrymore talk show.
Maybe it's a nod.
Maybe,
to,
yeah. Because
maybe it's a light up of his old lady.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that connection. But everybody with their dogs, right? Like including their dogs and everything. I had a student bring a dog into the classroom the other day, snuck it in and popped it out in a bag. I was like, you can't have a dog in here.
I thought the main problem in CPS was guns, not dogs.
They're both problems. Guns and dogs. We're working on them both. All right.
So it's a... what would you? I keep forgetting it.
I don't know. I don't think we've really settled on what we want to say, but
kill.
Yeah, I don't think of him as killing. I just really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
you know, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed this man and his comedy.
It's a hard enjoy.
It's a big enjoy. We really enjoyed it. These 50-year-old men really enjoyed this 50. These 50-year-old white men really enjoyed this 50-year-old white man. Yes. Go see it. Go watch it. And before we go off, I want to say that, as you said, I forgot this happened to me too. I also fell asleep at one point in the first viewing and woke up in the documentary. And Christian, same thing. He fell asleep during the show and then woke up in the middle of the documentary.
All right. Is the documentary tapped on the end on Amazon?
No, it's just the algorithm. Right, yeah. The algorithm says if you're watching this, you're going to want to watch this next. Okay. And then there's also a show too that I guess he's like.
Yeah, I'll watch the doc then.
All right.
Cut.